All right, before we even open the Bible, before we even get into the Word today, I want to tell you a story, okay? I'm not a great storyteller, but here it is. So when my husband and I bought our first house, the house that we still live in, we started really early working on landscaping. It was just something that we decided we wanted to do. And I don't know if you guys have met that man that I married, but he is really into lawn care. Like, real into lawn care. We have a contraption that makes our lawn look like it's striped, like a baseball field. We have these bags of organic fertilizer. Organic fertilizer. I'll let you cipher that one out. In our shed, he's obsessed. You can't make this stuff up. He watches a YouTube channel called The Lawn Care Nut. And I think he's a little bit nutty. Now, if you ask me about doing lawn care, see these? Two black thumbs. I've killed a cactus. I didn't know that was possible, but I've killed a cactus. I have drowned succulents. I have done it all. So the first summer when we were in our house, we went to buy these plants. Not a great idea. To pretty up the place. So we bought these petunias, and we bought impatiens, and we bought a lot of flowers to make it look nice. Okay? And then we made a mistake. We walked by the clearance section. Y'all know about the clearance section? I don't know if you know. I know about the clearance section. And I don't know if you've ever seen the clearance section for plants. That's usually what mine ended up looking like. In the garden center, it's just really sad. So we walk by this clearance section, and there's this stick in a cup. And there's little black plastic pots. And I felt sorry for it. I didn't know you could feel sorry for plants, but I felt sorry for this plant. And it was only $1. I'm like, hey, yeah, that's coming home with me. So here we're headed home with a stick in a bucket, and Brad is giving me down the road about it. He is teasing me about this stick I'm intending to grow because I have such success with growing anything. So he's teasing me about this stick. And so I put it in the ground, and I said, okay, the stick's going to grow, it's going to grow. And lo and behold, it turned out to be a climbing rose bush. All right? So nearly 13 years later, this thing's so huge that it's taller than I am. It blooms every spring and every summer with these huge, bright magenta blooms. It's the one plant in the history of my entire life that has actually remained alive. Now, somebody told me, too, that roses were hard to grow. I had no idea. Like, I'd put the stick in the ground, it grew. It was great. It was news to me. So, I know it's not time for roses. Like, I got it. That's spring and summer. But it's getting, I don't know if you guys know too, it's pumpkin spice season, also known as fall. It's getting ready to be fall, y'all. And that's when all of these viney kind of plants, these pumpkins, these gourds, and these such will just all be coming out, right? And since I do not know the first thing about how to grow plants that grow on a vine, this crazy climbing rose bush will have to do as the source of inspiration for today. So our scripture today is from John 15, 1 through 8, and I'll read it to you. You can turn there with me if you want to. It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears some fruit, he prunes it so it may bear more fruit. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them, and they cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Okay, so vines, branches, abide, you got it, right? We can just right out the door. Let me set the scene for you, okay? You guys ready for this? Jesus and his disciples, all 12, this includes Judas, you know, the backstabber, have just been together in the upper room. Jesus has just washed their feet. They've just had the Last Supper. And they're walking through the garden at Gethsemane. This is the place where Jesus will pray. Please, God, let this cup pass from me. And where he'll be arrested. This is one of the last times that Jesus will speak to the chosen before heading to the cross. And he chooses to talk about vines. I'm sure most of us are going, huh? Vines, really? And I'm certain the disciples were thinking that too. Okay, Jesus, he's really lost it. But Jesus really, really, really likes to talk in parables. He likes to give us word stories. And I think that's because some of us are just visualization learners. He's given his disciples all of these I am things, these I am statements before. He's been bread, he's been a light, he's been a door, he's been a shepherd, he's been the resurrection, the way, the truth, the life. And the true vine is the last one of those I am statements. So in this parable, we've got three players. We've got Jesus, the vine, we've got God, and we've got all y'all, me included. That's the plural of y'all, is all y'all. So everybody, us. I know that the parable is supposed to be about grapes, okay? But remember, I know very little about growing grapes, black thumbs. So we'll hearken back to my rose story. We're going to use that for us today to set the scene. So first parable player in here is God. He's the vine dresser, the cosmic gardener, if you will. He's the one responsible for ensuring that the vines are kept up appropriately. So in my War of the Roses, that would be that man that I married, also known as my husband. He's the gardener. Now, he's not like God. Bless his sweet soul. He tries hard. He's a good Christian, but he's not God. But for purposes of this illustration, he's the gardener. So he's the one that notices when there were black spots on the leaves. He's the one who treats for the aphids. He's the one that does the pruning at the end of the season. He's the one that has done the research and knows how to keep it alive for over a decade now. He's done the work. He knows. God's that guy. He knows everything, even beyond what our tiny little minds can understand, to keep us bearing fruit. We'll take some time and really dig into that here in just a minute. All right, so we've got God, the cosmic gardener. We have Jesus. So Jesus says, I am a vine. All right, Jesus, got it. And a true vine at that. What did Jesus have in mind when he said that? Jesus is that stump in a cup. Y'all remember that? My little stump in a cup. He's the start of it all. Humble beginnings, no? Both ways. He's the start of it. Now, the only reason, track with me here, the only reason that I have a rose bush at my house is the fact that we started with that humble little stick. When we bought that stick, we didn't know what we were truly getting. It's not like you and me. We place our faith in Jesus. Sometimes we don't know what we're truly getting. Seriously, that label was gone, and the price tag was $1, so it was nearly free. Now, it's a good thing that Jesus is free. But it turned out that it was a true rose bush. The source of life for the rest of the rose bush comes from that cup and that stick. And that's what Jesus is for us. He's the source, the real, genuine, authentic, certifiable source of life. So we've got God, the cosmic gardener. We've got Jesus, the true vine. So what about us? Jesus calls us the branches. All right, so branches, vine, I got it, branches. I call us the offshoots. In rosology, if you would ask Brad, he would tell you those are called canes. This is something that we really got to take a second, step back and wrap our heads around. We've got to remember that our existence depends on the true vine. I can't expect in my rose story that if the main trunk of my roses that started from that little stick were uprooted, that I would somehow still have beautiful blooms. That's not the way it works. And that's what Jesus is saying to us too. He's saying, you don't get to stand by yourself. You can't do it by yourself. You're dependent upon me. We don't like to be dependent. I don't like to be dependent. But it's the truth, and that's what Jesus says. I am the vine, and you are the branches. We don't get any sustenance from that vine unless we're connected to it and that we receive from it. From him, from his life, giving that nourishment, that sustenance that keeps us living, that keeps us producing, that keeps us bearing fruit or roses. Without him there, there's nothing. Okay, so we've got God the cosmic gardener. We have Jesus the true vine, and we're the branches. We got it? All right, y'all are with me, right? Three players. So in this parable, Jesus gives us three levels of fruitfulness, if you will. I call them levels of bloominess. Yes, it's a word. I said it. It's a word. Okay, so we've got some, we've got more, and we've got much. All right, track with me here. Verse 1, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears some fruit, okay, stop right there. All right, some fruit. Okay, some. So the first part of this verse really piggybacks on being in the vine. In order to even produce some fruit, even just a little bit, or flowers in our case, you got to be connected to the main vine. That makes sense, right? You got to be in the vine. So in order to even get close, we got to be in the vine. To produce some fruit, we got to be in the vine. Otherwise, you're dead weight and you get thrown into the fire. Even at first, I can remember that little stump that I planted in the ground had a few blooms on it. There were some blooms. There were not many. And I was so excited when it started to bloom. That's how Jesus feels when y'all come home. I remember that those first couple of roses were really special to me. There was some fruit there. Now, had I never started with this vine, had I never walked by the clearance section at the Walmart, I wouldn't have roses, and we wouldn't be having this conversation. So step one for bearing fruit, know the vine. You got to know Jesus before your life can be fruitful. And I pray for you, dear sister, dear brother, dear virtual learner, that if you're not abiding in that vine, that you are not sure about it, that you get sure today. Sure that you know the Savior that will sustain you. So level one, some. All right? Let's keep reading. Verse 2. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears some fruit, he prunes so that it may bear more fruit. More. Did y'all catch that? I'm going to go back. He prunes it. He prunes it so that it will bear more fruit. Back the train up. Pruning. What in the world does that mean? Doesn't sound nice. It's a natural process, y'all. Jesus borrows an illustration from the culture, the agrarian culture that he's in, to make a point. And it's not a point that's comfortable. It's not something nice to hear, but I'm going to tell it to you anyways. I'm not sure if you grew up with a garden or some kind of plant that required pruning, but why do we do that? Why do we get rid of parts of the plants? This is not a rhetorical question. Somebody tell me an answer. Why do we do it? Yeah, so it grows more. We do it to make them healthy, to make them more. So I can remember, back to the roses, I can remember one of the more heated spiritual fellowships, we'll call them, that Brad and I had. It was, you guys know what a heated spiritual fellowship is? Some people call it a fight. It was a disagreement and argument. So we had some heated spiritual fellowship over the great rose pruning of 2014. Yes, it gets its own date because it was devastating. Okay, armed with these red-handled loppers and a Cori-free afternoon, my rose bush headed from head high to knee high. I drove in the driveway, and I see this rose, and it's from here to hear, and there may have been some tears. And so there may have been some more heated spiritual fellowship when I said, "What in the world do you think you are doing?" And he looks at me and he says, "I'm pruning the rose bush, dear. It needs it. It needs it." And I need you to know two things about that scene. One, I never knew what "needs it" meant, at least not at first. And two, seeing that rose bush return to the before state really did a number on my emotions. What I did realize at the time, what I didn't know, was that in order for that rose to flourish, it needed the nutrients not to go out to the branches that weren't producing anything. We needed to clear out what was dead weight. It's an interesting term, huh? Dead weight. So what we learn in verse 2 here is that God does the exact same thing to us. God, the great cosmic gardener, who has known us even before the beginnings of the earth, that knows everything about us, will sometimes need to use those loppers. He needs to rid us of the excess, whether that's people, whether that's stuff, it's habits, it's attitude. Why? Because it's dead weight. Because it's weighing you down. It's keeping you from being more. In order to get the best, God's got to get rid of the things that take up space and nourishment, things that distract us from him. You know what? I'm going to tell it like it is. Sometimes that hurts. Sometimes it means making painful choices. It means losing relationships. Sometimes that means that we have to distance ourselves from the things that make us happy because they don't necessarily honor God. The purge, the pruning, requires a cut. And cuts can hurt. Cuts hurt. I'm not gonna lie. It's really that simple. In order for God to prune us, to grow us, for us to bear more fruit, he's got to prune us and make us more like his son. Let's keep reading. Verse 4. "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me." Okay, so this is kind of a minor excursus, but Jesus is repeating himself again. And when Jesus says something more than once, anytime you read something in Scripture that says it more than once, that says, "Wake up, family," and read it. We really, really ought to listen. And I don't think in this time, if you remember, it's maybe the last time that he speaks to his disciples, he's not going to waste breath. He's not going to give things that they don't need to know. Here is what he circles back to say. He says, outside of a relationship with me, you don't get to bear fruit at all. No some, no much, no more, none, zero. You can't live the life I intended for you to live apart from me. And he uses this word, abiding. What does it look like? It's a relationship. It's a changed heart, it's a changed mind, and a changed attitude that points toward the one true vine. Outside of that, I'm going to tell you, it's death. It's death. No, maybe not literal physical death, although we're all going to experience that at some point. But spiritual death for certain. Eternal separation from your Creator, from God. Here's what he says in verse 5. He says, "I am the vine and you're the branches." He really, really wants you to get this. I am the vine and y'all are the branches. "He who abides in me and I in him, he bears," there's our word, "much fruit. For apart from me, you can do," that word is "nothing." Apart from me, you can do nothing. "My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit. And so prove to be my disciples." That's in verse 8. So we've got some fruit. That's when you start out your baby Christian life, when you know the vine. You bear more fruit through pruning from the cosmic gardener, God. And here we talk about much fruit. And this is what Jesus says. He's like, here's how you do it. Okay? This is like giving us the secret code, end code. So here's how you do it. This is how you glorify God with much fruit. You abide in me, and I'll abide in you. And that's how we'll honor our Creator. Okay, I can abide. Oh, what's that mean? Trust me, I Googled. Trust Google, or Merriam-Webster, whatever. So abide, it's a verb, it's an action word. And it means to accept in accordance with a rule, a decision, or a recommendation. Accept or act in accordance with a rule, decision, or recommendation. It means to accept that spiritual pruning, even and especially when it costs you to do so. It means changed attitudes, actions, heart, because you've made a decision, you've acted to follow Jesus. To abide in this passage means to follow fully, all the way. So to grow in Jesus' grace and spirit and power and bear the fruit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, grace, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, Galatians 6. To bear the fruit of the Spirit, the changed life that glorifies God. You remember that pruning experience with the roses? The heated spiritual fellowship? That same rose, same one, that went from here to here, is the same rose that 13 years later knocked over the trellis because it was so heavy and now threatens to climb up the side of our house. It knocked over from the sheer weight of blooms. Y'all, that's us. That's us. That's how God's glorified, by letting him develop us and prune and strengthen us in any way, in any means, in order to point others toward him. That's how we bear much fruit. Okay, we got some. We got more. We got much. Why do I care? I ask this question. You need to know what to do with it. So why live fruitfully? What's it matter? Why plant a stick in the ground? Why put seven dust and fertilizer and water on a rose bush? Why go to all this trouble to stay meshed with Jesus? Because when you abide in Christ, when you act in accordance with his rule, his will, his way, you have his divine life, his divine power flowing through you. You don't need to worry about what you can do or what great works you think you can do. Jesus says, stay attached to the vine and I'm going to do it through you. I'm going to make you bloom. The greatest flower we can make, the best thing we can do to honor God with much fruit is to reveal Jesus and his love to somebody else in this world. To bring Christ and his healing to a broken life, to show Jesus and his redemption power to some life that is broken and that is steeped in sin. That's us. He's talking to his disciples in these verses, but guess what? Disciples means y'all go. That's what it means. All y'all, plural, are disciples. If you are in Jesus, you're called to go, not stay. The greatest work you will ever do, the greatest flower that will ever bloom from your life will happen when somebody sees Jesus in you. Instead of seeing you, instead of seeing yourself, they will see his love, his life, his power, his grace flowing through you. The greatest work you will ever do when somebody sees Jesus in you, and instead of seeing you, they see his love, his life, his power, his grace flowing through you. Because it's not about you, sunshine. It's just not. It's about glorifying the Father. Okay, y'all are with me, right? So we've got a vine. We've done some pruning. We've had God the cosmic gardener and Jesus the vine. We're the branches. We've got this, right? We've got fruit. Okay. So vining, prunes, fruit, roses. Where am I going with all this? Why even bother to stand up here on a Sunday morning and tell you all about rose bushes? Please don't tell Brian. That's what I told you about. I know. I know it's hard to remember these things. I know it's hard to take them home and to remember them. And I'm a word nerd. I don't know if y'all know that about me, but I'm a word nerd. And I often need sentences or sayings to help me to remember stuff. And today I want you to remember my rose. I want that to be the thing that you take away as you, Jesus' disciples, head into the mission field out there. Here's how the rose goes. One. Remain in the vine. Grow and cultivate a relationship with Jesus. Begin with word, fellowship with other believers, and prayer. But it's got to start that relationship with Jesus. That's how it has to start. Remain in the vine. Obey the vine dresser. Submit to cosmic gardener God. Allow him to prune you. To grow your relationship with Christ and with other believers. Submit to pruning, even when, or especially when it's hard and when it's painful, because it's going to be. There are going to be times it hurts. Because God wants immeasurably more for you than you want for yourself. And finally, edify him, glorify, honor, point everything back to God's goodness with the outworkings of your life, the things that you do, the person that you are. Edify God with that fruit. Remain in the vine. Obey the vine dresser. Submit to pruning. And edify him with fruit. All right. So I'm going to say something dangerous, and I'm going to ask for questions, comments, disagreements, then we'll pray.